Good morning. Can everybody hear? Welcome to Lexington. This is the home for Laura Slingbeef. We've been here since I joined her. Laura started this company over in Winchester, which is about 20 miles up the road. It's been an interesting do for me. I got into beef business in 1991 as far as selling it. Back in 1980, I bought a farm, and matter of fact, I bought my first purebred from Joville, Maine, down in Bowling Green, and was on the black side of life, and have evolved slightly, as you'll see here. Life is interesting in the beef business. Whatever was right yesterday won't be right today, so you better be ahead of the curve. With that, let me talk a little bit about my partner. Laura started this, as I said, back in 1985. She was doing everything on her farm appropriately. She called it Mount Folly Farm. She'll probably tell you some of that's still true today. But basically, she had an idea. And her idea was to try to make red meat all natural. She graduated from Duke with a degree in philosophy and journalism as a minor. So she thought she was going to come back here and be a philosopher or something. But in any event, she moved to this area, and we got involved together back in 1991. Prior to that, I sold fish. I was the president and CEO of Long John Silver's, and that was an interesting life, and so is this one. Basically, when we launched together, we decided that we needed to have rapid growth so that we could get out there and be a leader in the industry relative to lean, all-natural beef. Today, we're available in 44 states. 4,300 retailers carry our product. Basically, we're committed to family farms. We deal with farmers throughout the U.S., not big feedlots. We deal with family farms who feed our product primarily on their farms and ranches. We pay a premium for the product we want. Currently, we're paying 10 cents over the market for cattle that meet our process, plus a bonus. We also give services to these farmers on how to raise the beef to best suit our needs. A couple of things we've introduced is things like we use the banding process at the end of our cycle when they're weaned. This keeps them leaner. It's the opposite of what everybody else typically wants, but it works for us. And we become their marketing arm. We go out and sell this product, and that's primarily what we are. We don't own a lot of cattle. Laura and I both farm and have cattle, but Laura's is a marketing company. We have put our emphasis on quality from the get-go, and by quality, we don't mean fat. We mean consistency, predictability, and yes, tenderness. And you can have tender meat without it being fat. Some people won't agree with that, but we think you can. I hope what you had last night was relatively tender to what you're used to. The goal we had was to become one of the larger all-natural companies. We think we probably are for branded beef that's all-natural, no antibiotics, no growth hormones. And we did this over a number of years. We have grown at a compounded, 40% growth rate since 1991. This has always been a challenge because we don't own processing plants. We don't own distribution systems. So we always pay the other guy. This makes it more expensive to be in business, but it also gives you a lot of flexibility because by doing it this way, we can always be where we're going to be assured of having food safety and other controls we couldn't do from our economic posture. We're a unique niche. We're not what everybody wants in the beef business, but we think we can cohabitate with the choice and the other grades and not be a detriment to them. I know initially when I got involved, a lot of people said, well, they're knocking us. That's not our purpose. Our purpose is to fulfill a niche that nobody else was fulfilling, which is basically low fat, no antibiotics, no growth hormones to the animal. Good taste being a highlighted part of what we wanted to provide. And by good taste, we mean tenderness, not necessarily a fat taste. And also no additives, and we have never allowed any reprocessed animal tissue or byproduct to be fed to our animals. What we do to assure tenderness is we're working with gene markers and other things now to try to identify those bulls that do produce tender animals, do shear test against it. We think this is probably the best way long-term to get there. We do some of the other things mentioned earlier to try to keep our beef tender. We think that's a key characteristic. Basically, the market we cater to are people who do not eat beef. We are primarily getting the people like vegetarians, chicken eaters, fish and poultry. Those are the people that when we go into a grocery store, we attract. As a matter of fact, the hardest sell for us is when we go into a chain. We don't want to go where they're getting 8 and 10% red meat sales today. We want to be in the units where they're getting 5 and 6%, and this is because the people are avoiding red meat because of the fat. Those are the best outlets for us. That's where we're most successful. We think that to stay in the market and be a leader, you've got to keep being innovative. We've done a lot of things over the years to try to accomplish that goal. We have gone to case ready and some other things in the grinds. We're working on trying to get our whole cuts into that format. We think that's mandated so that you can stay in this posture. We were one of the first companies to have the American Heart certification. This, again, is not important to everybody, but to people who do want, who cannot eat a lot of fat and those who want to eat low fat, this is a very important part of our program. Again, the three main things that separate us from most others are that we're lean, we're all natural, which by our definition is no antibiotics, no growth hormones, and great taste. We think that, again, the taste characteristic is something that is probably defined differently by everybody up here today. But in our case, if you're selling to a customer who's been eating breast of chicken, codfish, vegetables, you can season this beef so it tastes pretty daggone good. And it's a big change of pace for these people, because if you've never eaten anything but chicken all your life, you're missing out on a lot. We think that all cattle obviously are not created equal. We want cattle that have the genetics to fulfill our need state. The selection process is important. You do not obviously take all cattle for any of these different programs. We're very particular about the cattle we take. Our average kill life on our cattle is about 16 to 18 months. We keep trying to move that back because we do think it plays on tenderness. We also have different feeding approaches. We do not go in with a hot ration. We try to bring them along gradually so that they do not become too fat. We start with the cow-calf producers. We're looking for a Limousine or Charolais cross cattle. We like them to be at least 3/4 continental. Again, no added growth hormones, no antibiotics can happen during the whole life of the calf. So we go back to the cow-calf guy. We can source all the way back to them. We provide these people with carcass traits on every head we kill. We also do it to the backgrounder and to the finisher. This enables them to know how these cattle performed, which ones were good, which weren't. Through that process, we've been able to improve the quality of the cattle we need over the past 10 years. Our primary thing we look for is a lean, well-muscled steer and heifer. We do also buy bulls to put into our grind process. This leans it up to a 92, 96% grind. Again, they all have to be all natural with no antibiotics, no growth hormones added. We're one of the few people that pay a bonus back to the cow-calf producer. We started this because that's where we begin the process. We cannot do what we do without the cow-calf guy being involved. So we developed ways that we could do this. We had to try to get truckload lots. That's what this represents, is how many cattle we would need on a potload, so that we could pay these bonuses. If you have to pay partial truckloads, you can't get there. We pay back to the finisher, or to the cow-calf individuals, 35% of the finisher's bonus, and I'll show you what that is shortly. This is something, again, that we find is very good for these people because typically everybody ignores the cow-calf guy to some degree. Right now we all pay attention because he's making a lot of money, but in the bad times, nobody gives him much ado. We pay a lot of attention to the cow-calf person. They make our program work. Once we get past the cow-calf, we have a backgrounding program. We basically want to get these cattle to 7 to 8 weight without putting them on feed. We also want this backgrounder to follow all of our rules. We have expectations of a pound and a half. Most of these are done on improved pastures. Fescue grass out here in Kentucky won't do that for you. You need some kind of grazing process that's a little better than that. The final step is on a feedlot, much like the other speakers this morning. We're going to use about 100 to 110 days on a feedlot. We do this again to get the type cattle we're looking for. The same requirements at the feedlot, no antibiotics, etc. We do allow, next one please, certain medications. You can give vaccinations. You can give external, internal parasite control. These are things, though, that disqualify us from being called organic. If you're organic, you can't do these things. We haven't figured out how to do that, so we're going to stick to our program. The end product you see up here is what we're looking for. You'll see they're not as heavy-weighted as some of the other programs. 1,000 pounds for our steers, 1,050 for heifers, with a carcass rate in the 675 to 700 range for steers, 650, 675 for heifers, 2/10 or less fat cover, 2% or less PKH fat, ribeye areas of 14 to 16, and a quality grade typically around 1. Now, we don't mean 1 from 1.0 to 1.9. We like the lower end of 1. And we started doing this on a 10th when we got together back in 91. There is a big difference between the low end and the top end of any quality grade or yield grade. Basically, much like other people, the better that grade, the more money you can put in your pocket as well as the producers. Our whole grid was based on this. Basically, what we did was went to the plant, and we found out for every 0.5% of an improvement in yield grade, we picked up about $50 to $60 in the box. Our bonus gives half of that back to the producer, and that's how it was all built. So once we did all this, we came up with our grid. And you can see we actually discount choice, so contrary to a lot of people, we go the other way. We also discount the high yield grades because they do not give the results we want. We actually call everything 2.5 and higher in our process. This, again, is to get predictability and consistency. Last year we killed approximately 53,000 head. This year it should be about 65,000. We anticipate we'll do over 100 million this year. And some of our products are very simple. We have 5 different product lines. This is to keep it so that we can be competitive against other people who do box beef. We have the 92% lean ground beef, and this probably goes into most of our retailers. If it's a low income demographic store, they probably can't sell a $10 steak, but they can sell a $3 hamburger. Ground round is, again, an upgrade from the ground beef. We take our bottom, that's really what you ate last night, by the way, and we grind that typically and sell that as ground round, 96% lean. We also have it in a case-ready format. The one on the left is in high oxygen, the one on the right, low oxygen. The difference is that you get 10 days on one, 18 days on the other, so it's up to the retailer to pick which he likes best. We also have a roast pack, and we put all of our components together. This also helps us getting slotting so that we don't have to have a top, a bottom, etc. We just have one roast pack. The same is true with our steak pack. We've also done something to help us there. You can see we've taken the cap off. We also split our ribeye in a strip, and you might wonder why. Basically, we do not move as much as commodity beef. It seems like I shouldn't say that anymore. I'm sorry. But basically, because of that, by splitting this, you can take a 5-pound portion and put it out early week and not expect shrink or waste. So that's why we've done this, and it's worked very good for our program, is that the grocer can put out a half of a ribeye or a half of a strip, or in this case, with the cap, they can put that out and not have any waste. Our last pack is our tenderloin. We sell that as a separate pack item because that's really for the up-end type of retailer. We see that price typically $18 to $20+ these days, so you're not going to sell that to many people, but the upper-end clientele will pay that. This is what we look like in a food service world where we're in the full service case. This is where we do our best in a high demographic income store. And then this is probably what you see more in most places. This would be self-serve. This is the type of display that really works good for us. We have done this pretty much throughout the country. We find that in some geographic areas you have to approach it different than others, but overall it's a pretty consistent program. I thank you for listening and look forward to your questions later. Thank you.